Hi everyone, I'm Joel Premack and welcome to the Community-Led Growth Show. Each week, I will be speaking with community leaders to share insights with you all on how to build a community-led growth company. Let's get to it. Hey everyone, I'm Joel Premack, host of the Community-Led Growth Show. Today, I'm joined by Joe Huber, customer community strategist at Sprout Social. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Joe.
Thanks so much for having me, Joel.
Of course. Well, let's start off with a super softball question of, can you give all of our listeners a quick 30-second intro about yourself?
Sure. I'm Joe Huber. I'm the customer community strategist at Sprout Social. I live in Illinois, near Chicago, with my wife and my daughter and my dog. Hi, London. Hi, Bliss. Typical stuff. Camp. I like to hike as far as my ankle will take me, and I like the outside.
Nice. All great things for sure. So diving into the conversation around community for today's episode, with regards to customer community at Sprout Social, what does community mean to you all?
Sure. Well, obviously community means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. For us specifically, community is the way that we connect social professionals together. That's how I look at it. We want to show that we care about your growth as a professional, and not just in a spend more money with us way, because that's not the point. One of the things that we think about when it comes to community meaning something to us is also not just talking to the brand and talking to me, to customers, because that's just an audience communication. That's social. You can do that anywhere. A lot of it for us is connecting people together. And that's what community means to us, is how are we bringing value to you by, we have this vast network of social professionals. How are we leveraging that for you? That's how we think about it.
Nice. As someone who's a big fan of Sprout Social and also past user of Sprout, how are Sprout's values? Because I know that those are something that come to life in many ways, in every way that you guys interact and engage with every audience. So how do those come to life when you're talking about your customer community?
Yeah. Our values are really important to us. So we look at things that, you know, open and honest communication, authentic communication, care deeply, those kinds of things. Every time we are looking at how we build something at Sprout, we lean into those values. So for us, we're not just starting from what we want to accomplish from a business perspective, because that is important, but that's not where we're starting. Where we're starting is, how are we building for the customer? And that's, you know, care. We care about our customers. It's one of our values is, you know, customers first and bringing the customer to the conversation.
Awesome. So you mentioned that Sprout really focuses on bringing social professionals together. So what are some ways that you guys do that, whether it's through events, newsletters, community spaces, et cetera?
Yeah. So for community, in the way we've been building that over the last several years that I've been in the role, is through Facebook groups. We've done a lot of Facebook lives, building conversations that way, building connections. Another thing that we've really leaned into are Zoom hangouts and live content. We did live Q&As at the start of the pandemic when people were really trying to figure out, okay, my social publishing has been, you know, kind of ruined by the way the pandemic kind of came into our lives so quickly. And so we started looking at live Q&As, and I liken it to a radio call-in show where we have content, but we wanted to hear from people. And so that's something that we lean into a lot, is live conversations with content, like around content, but allowing people to come on and have their own voice heard, ask questions live to an expert, but then also share their own take, their own opinion. And then one-to-one conversations is something that we'll never leave behind. I hear on a lot of different podcasts around community about how one-to-one conversations can't scale, and they shouldn't. And I agree with those people entirely. You can't scale this. And that's not the point. Community can be scalable, sure, but that's not the point. The point is to build connections, and you doing that at a one-to-one level. So we'll always have one-to-one conversations. And then we just look for new ways to engage people. So like we're currently, you know, looking at our own spaces, and we're in beta with that. And so we're looking at different ways to use those spaces to connect with people. So those are the things that we do from a tactical standpoint around creating engagement and creating kind of touch points and networking bridges.
Yeah. So now that we have a good idea of how members of the Sprout Social customer community actually are brought together and engaged with one another, how does that actually translate into the measurements of success for the community and what you ultimately share when you're talking about the broader impact and value of the customer community at Sprout to the leaders internally?
Yeah, I will be straight up. I don't think anything I'm going to say is going to blow anybody's mind. Our success is predicated upon pretty typical community metrics. We look at daily active users, monthly active users. We're looking at engagement percentages. Something that we're also looking for is how well do people know one another? So are people having those conversations? It's not exactly measurable, though. I love spotting it in the wild. And that's something that we look at a lot is qualitative quotes and things where you see people just enjoying themselves. So anytime that we can create something where they're excited and happy and getting value out of one another, that's a win for us, even if it's not exactly measurable. And that's, for me, community should deliver value to the members and community should be fun.
Totally agree on that. And I would also just say, I think it's just a different measurement. It's almost like how many times do you spot it in the wild? So it's almost like a fun game for you.
Yeah.
And then for them, you're seeing like the power of community right before your eyes.
Yeah. The only thing I'll add here is if you are brand new to community, and I don't know if your listeners tend to fall in the earlier stages or the later stages of their own professional growth, but the thing that you can do is pull some of those quotes. If someone says something about how much they love your space or how much they've like a value they've found out of those areas, if you're able to take that and share that up the ladder, that's helpful. Community is a really hot button topic right now. It's really, really popular. So I think that if you're starting out and you don't have a full grasp of what exactly your impact you're having on the business, you can still show that people are finding value out of it and these small qualitative things that you capture in the wild.
Definitely would agree with that. And I think also kind of taking that a step further, it actually makes it much more human than just saying like, here are some key metrics that we measure, but it also is now, here's how we're actually helping people. And these are the people, whether they're customers in Sprout's case or in other types of communities where it's a broader one for their specific like general audience. These are how we're helping our potential customers. So yeah. I think that as long as you stick to like giving value, you're always going to kind of win.
100%.
So now that we've kind of covered some of those things, I'm going to pivot the conversation because I'd really like to hear your thoughts on and what you mean further by a gatekeeping mentality that you've seen kind of exhibited by community professionals and why you're on a mission to really change this mindset.
Yeah, so it's something that I've seen like more than a couple times is a lot of people have been doing this for a very long time. A lot of people have been doing this for a very long time and they have their own set definitions of what things are. And a lot of times I've seen younger people, and it's happened to me too, but I've seen like people who are brand new to the profession say, this is where I think things are headed. And have their own kind of path in their head about where they think things are going. And one of the things that I think is really neat about, especially the younger generation that's coming out of college and has been in the profession for, you know, less than a couple of years, is they have grandiose visions of what this could be. And that's so exciting to me. But a lot of times I see people say like, no, that's not what it is. No, you've got it wrong. This is what it means. Telling us what the definitions are. And it's fine to know the history of things and it's fine to know what that is, but it's really, really important to not just shut things down because you have it in your head of what it is. And just because someone has a different vision doesn't mean they don't understand the past as well. And that's something that is, it's come up so many times. And there are people that I think have been doing this for a really long time that are nervous that someone else is going to change things and change the way things are done. And the reality is it all comes down to connection and your ability to speak human to human. And that's never going to change. So the fear is in a way unfounded, but it's really important to me that, especially when younger people are coming into this profession, we don't deter them and we don't stop them from having their own vision and their own direction, because we should be fostering that. And especially people who've been doing this for, you know, more than a couple of years, I think it's an obligation to help the next generation feel good about their direction, feel good about where they're heading.
Well, I just have to say, first off, as someone who's somewhat early in their career, we thank you for that and give you a round of applause for that, because I'm sure many of us would agree with that. But to close out the episode, because I know we're coming up on time in a few, is what are your three predictions for community in the B2B tech space that you're watching for in 2022 and beyond?
Sure. So again, these are predictions. And I think a lot of people had a lot of predictions that happened so much faster because of what happened with quarantine. A lot of people were pushed online. This is not a shocking prediction, but businesses are going to be trying to build their own communities. And I think that it's not going to be like, oh, a lot of business. I think every business is going to try building their own community at this stage. Businesses that might even have a really tough time trying to get it, but like I said earlier, it's hot. This is a hot topic of conversation. Some businesses from this, out of all the businesses that are going to be rushing into this, they're going to misidentify, they're going to ill-define, they're going to rush into things without understanding their customers and have to restart their initiatives when they realize that they launched the wrong thing. So I think that that's going to be a prediction, is that at the end of this year and next year, early next year, you're going to see a lot of communities kind of relaunch because they didn't understand what their customers were actually asking for. And then something that is, because I'm in B2B SaaS, I work for a B2B SaaS company, so I think about product a lot. The tools that we use as community professionals are going to become much more sophisticated in a much shorter time frame. So where I think a lot of community tools over the last decade have been kind of building and building and building in sophistication, and they've been bought by larger companies that don't see community's full value, we are going to see these community tools evolve so much faster because community is so important.
I would definitely agree with many of those predictions that you just shared. Sure. But again, Joe, thank you so much for being on the Community Led Growth Show today. If people want to follow and connect with you offline or like online on another channel, what are the best channels and or handles for them to use?
Sure. Don't follow me on Instagram. I just post about my baby and my stories. But on Twitter, I'm at Joseph P. Huber. That's probably the best place to get me, although I've kind of stopped tweeting about work the last couple of weeks and all I talk about is Wordle right now. If you're interested in my voiceover work, I do professional voiceover work at jphubervoice.com. You can book me and find out about my rates there, but those are the two things I think that I would say is at Joseph P. Huber on Twitter, and jphubervoice.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much and have a great day.
Thanks so much. You do the same.